You're listening to the Hustlenomics Podcast, Episode 1. So, y'all, today we're talking with the very sweet and very talented Crystal Peterson. You've probably seen some of her work on Pinterest or Instagram because she creates the most beautiful lettering and designs. And we get into some super important topics like starting your own business right out of college. Scary, right? Well, Crystal breaks it down and shows how with hard work and the right timing, starting your own business after you graduate can actually be possible. We also chat about working from home and how that can sometimes feel extremely isolating. However, Crystal works to combat those feelings by joining online communities and growing her network and business through interacting and collaborating with other creative entrepreneurs. Okay, I cannot wait for y'all to hear all the fantastic advice Crystal has to share, so let's dive in. You're listening to the Hustlenomics Podcast, a podcast all about inspiring female creative entrepreneurs, their stories, experiences, and life lessons. Hear from women across the U.S. working in creative industries who are breaking the rules and doing things their way. Learn from their challenges, struggles, failures, and successes, and get an inside look at their top tools and resources that help them along the way. This episode is sponsored by Women's Wellness Weight Management, your total weight loss solution in the greater Augusta, Georgia area. We all know that as business owners and creative entrepreneurs, sometimes our health can fall by the wayside. We're so focused on our to-do lists and our projects that sometimes we forget to focus on ourselves. I believe that having a healthy body and a healthy mindset can also help us have a healthy business. And Women's Wellness Weight Management is here to help transform lives 1 pound at a time. Visit them online at www.womenswellnessaugusta.com. Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Hustlenomics Podcast. I'm your host, Katie, and I am talking today with Crystal Peterson of Crystal Peterson Design and Lettering. She's a freelance calligrapher and graphic designer who specializes in calligraphy-inspired branding design and wedding accents. Hi, Crystal. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I've gotten a chance to look through your awesome website and store, but just for anybody who hasn't had a chance yet to look through that, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Yeah, totally. As you said, I own Crystal Peterson Design and Lettering, which is a brand. I offer branding design and lettering for creative brands and brides. So basically, I do anything from logo designs to wedding calligraphy, welcome signs, stationery, things like that. And I also own the Ampersand Shop, which is available on Etsy and Creative Market, and it has Procreate brushes and resources for letterers and designers.
Okay, I saw your Creative Market store, and I'm a huge fan of that website, so I was super excited to see that you're on there.
Yeah, it's really great. It's actually the very first shop that I opened before Etsy, and it's been amazing selling on that platform.
Okay, cool. So what made you want to get into the calligraphy and branding business?
Well, I guess that's kind of two different stories because it's kind of two different industries. I guess I would say I always knew that I wanted to be an artist when I was growing up. I always knew that I kind of wanted to be a graphic designer when I learned what graphic design was. But when I went into college, you know, I didn't want to major. First of all, I didn't know that my college had a graphic design major because no one thought to tell me that when I told them that I wanted to be a designer. But I always was scared to do an art major because, you know, the cliche of like the starving artist. I like to eat. I wasn't trying to be a starving artist. So instead, I kind of majored in advertising. And then I realized, you know, somewhere in there that graphic design was what I wanted to do. I love advertising and I love marketing, but graphic design and stuff like that is what I'm passionate about because I don't like creating art kind of just to create it. I've always been that way. I like creating it for a purpose. And that's exactly what graphic design is. It's creating art to communicate an idea. So that's what I kind of decided in undergrad. And that's kind of how I got started in the branding industry. And for calligraphy, while I was taking these advertising classes, I was obsessed with like my notes and making them like really pretty. So it actually started with an ampersand, the little like and sign, drawing them in my notes. And I was thinking, this is so ugly. Like, I wish I could draw a pretty ampersand. So I kind of started to focus on it, maybe Googled it a couple times. And then I just became obsessed with like lettering and making my letters look pretty. And that's when I discovered hand lettering. And then it just kind of spiraled from there into like a passion and obsession and expanded from my ampersand to a whole business.
Yeah. You know, I've worked with a lot of calligraphers and I'm just amazed at their talent. Did you come across that naturally or did you take any classes to teach you that? I mean, it's an amazing skill.
So I'm actually self-taught in both graphic design and calligraphy. I just kind of learned everything that I could online, bought all the books that I could, learned it up, took some online classes, and just kind of absorbed as much as I could and acted like a sponge basically. And just every single resource that I could get my hands on just devoured it. And that's kind of how I learned everything. I didn't take any classes or any formal education.
That's incredible. And I know you mentioned that you started your business right after college, which is incredible. Most people, you know, take the trajectory of I go to college or they either go to grad school or some kind of further education or they get a job. But you said, no, I'm going to start my own business. So what kind of gave you the inspiration to do that? And do you mind telling us a little bit of the backstory of starting the business?
Right. Yeah. So when I was in college, I was in a sorority and I did the kind of the creative director role. So I would do the t-shirts and the flyers for a semester or two. And then I started to have like people in the Greek community and like my sisters from other chapters approach me about, you know, other design things that they needed. Like one of them owned a t-shirt company and she wanted to print some designs on her t-shirt. One of them wanted custom lettering for something or this or that. And then one of them wanted, you know, a letter design for their branding logo for their shop that they had opened, an alumni. And then so I kind of started freelancing when I was still in college. I already had a website as like a portfolio because I knew that when I graduated, I would need that to show to agencies. But when I graduated, I was looking for jobs and searching through all the listings and this and that. And I had a resume and I was getting ready to apply to jobs when I posted my resume in like a Facebook group for graphic designers and kind of just asked, you know, would anyone be okay to look over this? Like, can you tell me if there's anything that I can improve? And it was found by this lady named Alex, who owns a graphic design business with her husband, Steve. And they actually looked over my resume. They did send me back, you know, this is how you can improve. But they were also like, we want to hire you as a freelancer for our design business. It was just a husband and wife team that kind of worked out of Orlando. And I worked for them remotely. So I started doing that. And then I kept freelancing on the side. And so then it just kind of ended up stop looking for a job because it was just working out.
Right. That's amazing. And, you know, that's something that I've always aspired to as well, being able to take what I thought was a side hustle to, you know, full time, of course. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, starting your own business. We're both about to turn 25, which is why I'm super excited to talk to you because we're kind of in the same age range of starting your own business. I always struggled with the kind of what I call imposter syndrome, feeling like, oh gosh, I'm comparing myself to everybody on social media and why are they so far ahead in their business and I'm not. And have you ever dealt with that or struggled with that at all?
I actually didn't really struggle with it when I first started out, but I have, you know, the more that I grow my business and the more people that I meet begun to struggle with it. But I kind of combat the imposter syndrome with like learning every single thing that I can learn as much as I can, like kind of just never stop learning is one of my personal values. And also never stop learning and teach everything you know is basically one of my huge values in myself and my business. And so I kind of use that as a way to, I guess, I don't want to say get ahead, but just kind of make myself feel better about like, yes, they're doing a lot of stuff, but you know, I'm going to learn this thing and then I improve my business and then I don't need to worry about them. I'm focusing on what I need to focus on is kind of how I deal with that.
No, I think that's great. And I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but we talked about online groups or anything like that that you've joined, and I've joined some as well, and that's really helped propel my business. And I would love to get your opinion and insight on that and how it's helped you kind of grow from the start.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I tell everyone who will listen to me, like, preach it from the heavens. I believe in like participating in your online like industry community, growing your online network, and just like finding all the resources to connect with people that you can online. And I mean, in person is important too, but really online is a lot more opportunities. And it's honestly changed my business, changed my life, like it's been a huge factor in every single thing that I've done. By participating in an online community, I actually wrote a blog post kind of for letterers to how to find and participate and kind of like leverage the online community. And I think maybe why I'm so passionate about it is because I used to be an admin for this. It was an Instagram account and a Facebook group. It's called the Lettering League. And it kind of brought together lettering artists. That was the first kind of online group that I got participated in, became engaged in, and then it kind of spiraled from there. But the Lettering League was like a place we would do weekly challenges on Instagram, and then we would feature other calligraphers and letterers on the account who would teach for a week. And it was a Facebook group where people could ask questions and post resources and this and that. And I realized how absolutely amazing and helpful it was. And I started to think, you know, I bet there's groups like this for graphic design or branding or whatever, like other industries, other lettering groups. And there were. And then when I, you know, kind of found them, it just like opened a million doors for me. My eye, it was like I could not see. And then I saw the light. It was cloudy. And now I can see. It was amazing just to see, you know, all the resources and all the knowledge and all the people that I could find in those groups. And I think there's tons of benefits to it. And honestly, I think that if you're going to participate in the online community, it makes it like 5,000 times easier to do like certain things in your business. Like it presents opportunities. It, you know, you can find out things that you didn't know you needed to know, kind of skip over hassles that you might otherwise face in your business. Like if I needed a pen for a certain calligraphy project and I didn't know what kind of pen I needed, I could post it in the group and then just get answers instead of buying 1,000 pens and testing them out for myself. Yeah, I think that the big thing about that is to kind of, you have to approach these groups as a, with the mindset that this is a community of like industry people. They don't want you to sell to them. The goal of this isn't not to sell. Yes, they can connect you with opportunities. Yes, there will be ways to grow your business. But if you kind of participate in the community with the mindset, like I am here to provide value and to learn and to collaborate, then I think that that's where this, it shifts from, I'm just going to post my products in this group and pray for the best, to this is the best resource I've ever found in my life.
Yeah, I totally agree. The groups that I've been a part of, I mean, there's usually two different kinds. There's the ones where people are doing like what you said, they're participating, you know, it's an actual community where people are sharing information and ideas. And then there's another group, which is still just as valuable, that most people are looking for jobs, posting jobs and all that stuff. But I think both are important, but it's very good to know the distinction and know what to do in each group, because it really can make a difference.
Yeah. When I was admining the Lettering League, kind of one of the things that was my responsibility was to like go through and delete self-promotional posts. And I was kind of among the admins and the owner and stuff like that. I was like the promo police. So I was like very no tolerance. Like, you are not here to self-promote. Don't link to your social media. Don't link to your website. I'll delete it. And if you do it again, I'll delete you. Like keeping the groups clear of that kind of clutter and making it so that the timeline is like only resources and like people asking questions. And those, like when you ask a question, you don't want it to get buried by 50 people posting this new product that they made. That's not really helpful. Like the group, the only way it can provide value as far as the way the Lettering League was positioned, the way that it provide value was like as a resource, and people just using it to, you know, grow themselves without giving back was not the point. And so I really appreciate communities like that, that, you know, kind of take a stand and don't let people self-promote so that all you get is value and everything is, you know, kind of like relevant.
Absolutely. And I found, I don't know what your situation is if you work from a home or an office, but I found that a lot of people who own their own businesses and work from home, it can be very isolating. So having this online community where you're actually interacting with people from your industry, and I, you know, a lot of people do meetups and they actually meet in person. And I think that's so super valuable, because, you know, if you just sit in front of your computer for 8 hours, the only person you're going to see is the cashier at the grocery store. So, you know, it's really nice to be able to connect with people in your industry that understand what you're going through and understand all the challenges and all that stuff. So I think it's just beyond valuable.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. With that, like you're so right. I do work from home, and you know, sometimes I'll go a couple of days and I won't even see the cashier at the grocery store. I'll just see like my dog. The only people I'll see is when I pick him out to go to the bathroom. And then, you know, growing these online communities, I think another really good place to grow it is on Instagram. Well, depending on your industry is going to, you know, decide the platform where you're trying to find your community. But for me, for lettering and design, Instagram is huge. So there's actually a little group chat that was formed for Atlanta calligraphers. And so we've met up a couple times, like in person. We went to a brewery and then we all met up last weekend at the Pinners Conference. And just, you know, having that kind of group to ask if you have questions or just have like a local thing, you know, you don't feel so alone, because you're so right. It can be totally isolating, especially for me. I live by myself in a one bedroom apartment, so I can literally go days without seeing another human being if I don't leave my house and I'm working really hard.
Right. I totally get it. And the hours just fly by and you look up and it's 9 o'clock and you haven't talked to a single human. I get it.
Days, like seriously.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do work from home. So I'm curious to kind of know, what is a typical day for you in your business?
So a typical day in my business, it obviously depends on what projects I have planned. If it's a wedding calligraphy project or a branding design project, or if I'm going to focus on creating new products, kind of determines what my day looks like. I like to get up, start the day with, I use May Designs books. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're really, really great, really cute books, little notebooks. And you can get them with customizable inside pages. So one of her options is like a little to-do list. And then it has like a space for notes, a space for people you need to call, or email, and then like to do tomorrow. So I really love using those at the beginning of the day to kind of sit down, plan out my top three to-dos, and then everything else that I would like to do that day, but, you know, aren't super urgent. And then write, you know, all of the things that I need to get done as far as emails that I need to send, and kind of focus on whatever the project is for that day.
Okay. And so you actually cater to pretty different markets. You're doing the wedding industry with the calligraphy, and I guess you're doing a calligraphy as well in the branding, but you know, you're probably working with two different markets. How does that work? Do you have to completely separate those two, or do they overlap?
The way I kind of think of it is services for creative people who want to leave a lasting impression. So that kind of groups both brides and businesses. But I'm also in the process of pivoting my business, because you're exactly right. It is, you know, two different industries, and it did take me a little bit to decide where, what was more important to me. But what I decided was that they were both important and I wanted to teach them both, or like do them both. So I'm kind of merging them and pivoting my business to a business that provides resources to help aspiring letterers who want to grow and monetize their hand lettering and calligraphy skills so that they can make money doing something they love. And under that umbrella, I'll still be offering branding design, but it's going to cut back to only calligraphy-inspired branding design and only kind of like one branding package, and offer vectorizing services for letterers who don't know how, want to monetize their lettering, but don't know how to vectorize, don't want to learn how to vectorize, or just don't want to take the time to vectorize. So it's still going to be a service-based kind of thing, as well as a focus on creating and providing teaching resources. So with the separate kind of industries right now, you're right, I do have to separate a lot of things and it can get kind of complicated. So I'm moving more away from that and into a more niched down kind of industry.
Well, I think that's great. And I would love to hear more about the teaching aspect of what you're doing, because I mean, obviously that's super important. And I think people would be interested in learning about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I realized that I really love teaching when I posted kind of a really short tutorial on my Instagram account for how to do offset lettering in Procreate on your iPad Pro, an offset stroke lettering, and it kind of exploded. But even if it hadn't exploded, I realized making it that I loved kind of breaking things down and teaching people, and that when people would ask questions in the comments and I liked helping them. So that kind of sparked, I guess, an idea and a thought in me that, you know, I want to teach lettering and design, because in the past I did work when I was in college. I worked in like the computer lab of our student center, in the like digital media wing, where I would help people if they needed help with like Adobe products or Photoshop or Illustrator or anything. I would kind of help them with whatever they were doing at the time. And I really, really enjoyed that. And then when I realized how much I like teaching, the things that I'm passionate about, I started thinking, you know, how can I incorporate this into my business? So hand lettering especially, lettering workshops are huge, and I'd really, really like to do that and develop like a hand lettering workbook for beginners. But even more so than that, I've realized through the online groups that I'm in that there's a really big, you know, market of or like amount of hand letterers and calligraphers who that's what they do. It's like a hobby. They don't have a design background, but they still want to monetize. You know, they want to create logos or they want to put their lettering on products. But, you know, to create logos, for those of you that don't know, you have to vectorize it, which means that you have to take it from pixel-based, which is what Photoshop is, to a mathematical-based image, which is what Illustrator is. And it's kind of a complicated process. It's kind of an expensive program. It's kind of hard to learn if you don't have a design background. And setting up products for printing, even if you don't have to vectorize it, setting up the print-ready templates can be kind of complicated if you don't have a design background. So I kind of realized that, you know, merging my design background with my love of lettering and teaching this newfound like passion kind of thing, I want to, you know, really help aspiring letterers or like people who are more established kind of use graphic design principles and techniques and the things that they need to know about design to grow or build their lettering business so that they can like sell it and, you know, make money doing the thing that they love.
Well, that's fantastic. That's super exciting. So kind of going into a very connected side of the online community, I would love to talk about marketing strategies a little bit because it's always front of mind for people who are starting their own business. How do I market myself? How do I market my brand? So I'd love to hear kind of your journey through the marketing strategy field. You know, are you blogging? Do you social media, email list? You know, those are just a couple things that I know are huge. So I'd love to hear kind of your journey through that.
Okay. So like I said, I was an advertising major in college. So I have a bachelor's in advertising. So I do kind of have like a bit of a marketing background. They're not exactly the same thing, but they're very similar. I love marketing and the whole like learning about marketing and like implementing it and stuff. But like, I wouldn't want to do that as a service offered to other businesses, but I do love doing it for my own business.
Right.
Yeah. But honestly, to be completely forget all of the like other stuff that, you know, you go to a blog and they say, you know, you need an email list and you do, but for people that are beginning, I think the most important thing, honestly, is building that online community because I'm HubSpot inbound marketing certified. So like I understand the importance of a blog and positioning yourself as an expert in your industry and kind of growing like a following that way and bringing people to you. But knowing all of that, the majority of my like clients have come to me through opportunities that I found through either Facebook groups or posting on Instagram or, you know, and incorporating maybe the inbound teaching methods with like creating the tutorials and posting it on my Instagram account. That was huge for kind of growing like a community. You know, providing value is the best way to market, hands down.
Absolutely. And so like for somebody who's first starting out, they have an idea, they have a skill that they really think is marketable, and they're really just trying to figure out where to start, you know? And so they're looking at these online communities. What would you suggest would be the first place to start? A website, an Instagram account? Where do you think they should start?
Before they do any of that, they need to know what they want to make and who they want to sell it to and what value what they're making provides to the people, their target audience that they're selling to. So if you don't have those three things, you can make an Instagram account, you can make a website, you can write it on a billboard and write it in the sky with an airplane, your business, and it's not going to matter. Because until you're marketing to, you know, people, you're marketing a service that people want, people need, people are willing to pay for directly to them, then it doesn't really matter. You can't market to everybody because then you're really marketing to nobody. So if they have those three things, then I would say make a website. Because me personally, if I find someone on Instagram and, you know, I'm think, oh my gosh, this person is really cool, I would love to collab with them, but they don't have a website, all they have is an Instagram account, I just assume that they're not a business. I assume, you know, they're doing it as a hobby. So they're not, you know, going to want to work with me, or they're not, you know, it's not going to really be a worthwhile endeavor for me to even approach them to work together. We can be friends. That would be cool. And I can learn from them, I'm sure, but not as a business. So get that website. The website, what it really honestly, all it needs is your services. Decide what you want to offer or products if you're going to do a product-based business. Your offering, your about you, kind of your background so that you people, you know, understand like you're a real person and it makes them trust you more, and a way to contact you. That's the three things that you need on your website if you're starting out. And then you can do social media from there. But once you have that down, you are a business, like more so you seem legitimate online and, you know, people will trust you a lot more and be more willing to work with you because you don't seem sketchy and they're not, you know, going to this business that's going to steal their identity.
Right. No, I completely agree. So I actually do some, you know, website design as well. And what you just said, the about me page, the services page, and the contact page, those are the three cornerstones of like a good website. It's a start, you know, obviously you can build from there, but I think that's super important for people who are starting out to know you don't need to go crazy. You don't need to spend $3,000 on web design, you know, just find something that can help you.
You don't need to spend anything.
Yeah, you don't really need to spend it any. You're right. You just need to. But if you need some help, find somebody who can really help you solidify your brand. Because if anybody's going to go to your website and can't figure out what you're doing or what you're selling, you're going to lose a customer. So I think that's super important to make sure if you have those three pages down pat, you're good. You know, that's a good start.
And not even like kind of not even beyond that. Don't really say what you're selling. Obviously, list your packages, make it clear what you're selling, but make it more clear how what you're selling will help them. How, like, what you're selling is going to solve a problem that they have. That's how you get customers, not by making a website and saying, like, I can do calligraphy. Here's some pictures of it. Let's work together. People be like, let's work together on what? What is your calligraphy going to do for me? Like, people don't really care about you. People care about them and how your service can make their life easier. That's one of the biggest things that I've learned since starting my business. Kind of keeping that in mind is absolutely essential.
No, that's absolutely true. And I work in the photography business. And so, you know, if you're looking at a photographer's website and all they're doing is talking about them and not the people they're taking photos of, it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's not about you. It's about them.
It's kind of something that I had to like remind my customers, like my branding customers over and over and over again. Like, you know, when you kind of look at the logo that I've designed, it doesn't matter if you like it. It matters is if your target audience likes it, if they're attracted to it. That's what matters. That's what's going to make sales. Because if you're not your target audience, then your opinion doesn't matter.
So looking at, you know, being a young female entrepreneur, I'm just curious about what has been one of the biggest struggles in your journey so far since starting your business?
Well, you know, starting a business has a couple struggles, like especially kind of, you know, figuring it all out for yourself. But I would say the biggest struggle as a creative in general, as a creative like business owner, would be, you know, figuring out what it is that I want to do and not giving into shiny object syndrome and trying to do all of the things. Like, especially someone who has, you know, two different kind of passions and industries and services like graphic design, branding, and calligraphy/lettering, that is like something that I really, really struggled with, trying not to be like, oh, I offer calligraphy and lettering for this and this and this and this, and also branding design for businesses and design for advertisements and design for print and lettering for this and lettering for that. It's just too much. You can't be a jack of all trades. You have to kind of pick your niche and kind of zero in on it, offer services and products that are really, really good because you specialize in that. Like originally I was doing the branding design and I was doing kind of just that at the time. I didn't really do anything with calligraphy aside from a hobby. So I really wanted to open like a product based shop with my calligraphy kind of printed on products and do the whole drop shipping thing. I thought, you know, that was like a great idea. And I, you know, had everything set up and I like kind of had it ready to launch and ready to go through with. And then I just didn't do it because I realized, you know, it wasn't the right choice for me and it didn't really align with, you know, my business that I had set up, the branding design business and like kind of like the design aspect, like a product-based shop just didn't make sense at the time. Doing all of the things at once, you also, it makes it really hard to finish anything. If you're not focused on your plan and decide what you want to do, plan it out, put it in your calendar, then it's always going to be your list of things that you someday want to do. And I struggled with that a lot. And I still struggle with that a lot.
Yeah, I find that as creatives, we usually have a really good time starting projects and then not finishing them. I've definitely experienced it myself.
Especially, I'm a planner. That's like, I just like plan things out. I will like outline things to death. 50-page outline of what I want to do, like what course I want to launch, what modules it's going to have, the lessons, the sub key points of each lesson, like all the way until like I just don't ever launch it. And especially creative, like all of these cool ideas and directions that I could go in, I get them all the time. And I'm sure other creatives can relate that, you know, you get 1,000 ideas a day of where you could take your business, but not all of them are going to be, you know, the right idea. Just because you could do it doesn't mean that you should do it.
You got to put that filter in there.
Right. And I think, honestly, I read this book. It's called The One Thing. And it was recommended a lot by like a lot of online business owners and creatives that I follow. They all said that it was a really amazing book that changed their life. So I was like, oh my gosh, I got to check this out. And it, yes, they were all right. It was an amazing book that changed their life. Like, go buy it right now. But the key thing of that book was kind of focus on the one thing that's gonna, you know, make everything else in your life or your business easier. So if you're trying to do like you have a list of things that you want to do in the future, you kind of like choose, you know, this is the product that I want to launch next. And then like to decide what you're gonna do that day, you choose, you know, what task can I work on for my current goal that will make everything else about that goal or whatever easier. And then everything else that's not that one task that I just set is like a distraction. So don't fall down the internet like black hole of learning all the things. Focus on that one thing that's gonna, you know, move you closer to your goals.
That's fantastic advice. So if we talk about the struggles, of course, we've got to talk about the successes. You know, what has been like one of your proudest moments? I always like to ask people that and they're like, oh, I have no idea. But is there one moment in your business where you're like, gosh, I finally feel like I kind of made it?
I actually have two. I have two kind of like one is like a client and one is like a moment. Yeah, the client would be I actually did a lettering project for PlayStation and Sony and I got to work with them. Yeah. So that was like, you know, a really, really great experience, not only to experience, you know, what it's like to work with a huge company like that, but also just to, you know that, oh my gosh, somebody thinks that my lettering is amazing enough to like be for PlayStation. I actually got it the opportunity because a sorority sister of mine from a different school, she's from like a school in the north. And I'm from like obviously UGA, which is in Athens, Georgia. But we had connected in undergrad because she has a t-shirt printing company. And like I was doing like a t-shirt fundraiser to help raise money for our Southeast Formal, whatever. Anyways, she works for PlayStation now. She moved to San Diego and they were looking for, you know, hand lettering for an upcoming like game, like an anniversary, like a 20th anniversary of one of their games, the really big games. And then I was like, yeah, I'm totally down to work on that with you. She contacted me and asked if I was interested. And then another project came up where they had another game that needed like a logo, but they wanted it to be hand lettered because it was a very artistic game. And so I ended up working on that one instead. And they still, you know, are kind of like the other game is on the back burner. But I ended up, you know, I'm actually an employee, I guess, for PlayStation, as opposed to like a contractor. They did the whole onboarding thing with me. So I thought that was really cool. And I really enjoyed that. That was success number one. And number two would be when I opened my Etsy shop selling my very first Procreate brush. When I posted it because I used it a lot in iPad lettering on my Instagram, and people, you know, would always ask me, what brush is this? Like, I love it. Where can I get it? And I would be like, oh, sorry, it's a custom brush that I made and it's not available online. So you're kind of out of luck. Sorry about it. So after so many people kept asking me for it, I was like, okay, whatever. I figured out like how to do like the Etsy, actually the Creative Market first, sorry, how to upload it and like put it on Creative Market, wrote the whole description, which is hard for me because I'm not a writer, which is why I hate blogging. Wrote the description, kind of did the keywords, posted on Creative Market and Etsy, didn't tell anybody, not a single soul on earth, that I had posted this in either place. And somehow I started making sales. I was like intending to like do it in the future, kind of like be like, hey, I posted this thing, like go get it. But like I hadn't got there yet. I would just like was lazy about creating the social media like headlines and stuff. And then it started making sales. And it kind of like blew my mind, you know, that people were seeing it and buying it without like, how did they find it? You know, obviously these are platforms where they already have an audience and that's like kind of there and captive and they're searching for the things that they want. And that's obviously how they found it. But that, and then once I posted it on social media, kind of the success of these little $3 Procreate tiny brushes that I made and how many people just love them. And like how many people say that it's like really, they love it and it's their favorite brush and it's like changed their iPad calligraphy and they use it all the time. Like that's amazing to me that I could create something that helps people create better lettering. And like they just really like it a lot. And that these $3 brushes have paid for how much my expensive, giant iPad cost.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I really wanted to talk to you about the passive income kind of idea of having something that's online that you're not having to constantly work at every day, but still is bringing in, you know, some money. Is that something that's really a big part of your business now?
Yes. And it's actually something that's like a big cornerstone of my business pivot is developing more passive income things. Because honestly, when I posted that brush, to be transparent, I thought that like the five people who had asked me for it were the five people that were going to buy it. And that was that. But I think between the two websites, I've had like over 1,000 sales, I think, of these. I have developed a couple other brushes. But I think that one brush alone has sold over like 600 times or something ridiculous that I just didn't even know, like never expected, didn't plan for, but then it opened my eyes to the opportunities of, you know, passive income and how like valuable it can be as like a part of your business. So yeah, it's definitely ingrained in my future business plans. I think that it's really valuable. The only thing about it is that you kind of really have to know what your audience wants. Like if you, because you're spending all that time upfront to create this product, and then, you know, if you're creating something that your audience doesn't want or doesn't need, then they're not going to buy it and it's just a waste of time. So I think, you know, maybe asking, using those Facebook groups to ask if your idea is something that they would be interested in, super valuable, but kind of knowing what would, because, you know, no one wants to take like a, you can make a survey on like Google Forms, like a 10 question survey. No one wants to sit there and do 10 questions for someone they don't know. But if you post one question in a Facebook group, I got like 100 answers to one question that I posted one time. And it was just like, wow, hello, like market research. It was amazing. And especially because with copywriting, I learned this from an online course that I took from Ashlyn Wrights. You can use, you know, the answers to your question from your customers, like use that same language when you're selling to them. And then it makes them, you know, feel like this is exactly what I need. But the thing about passive income products is that you need to create, you know, a product that is going to solve a problem for them. That, so for my Procreate brushes, you know, it solved the problem that the Procreate app didn't come with any calligraphy brushes that made it easy to create modern calligraphy styles. And my brush did, made it easy for them. And then I have another brush that's easy to vectorize with Illustrator using ImageTrace. Like it just works well. So they solve those problems, and just creating a product to create a product because it's something you want to do isn't, you know, you might just be wasting your time. It might not sell at all.
Right. So as a business owner, I know you said a lot of the your start came from friends asking for things and, you know, giving you certain jobs or opportunities. And so I'm curious to know, you know, how has being a business owner and focusing, you know, I'm sure a lot of your time on your business affected your relationships? Have you seen any change with, you know, family, friends, love life? How has that affected things?
Right. Well, yeah, it's definitely had a big impact. I actually don't even really work with friends on projects anymore. Sometimes they'll refer people to me, but, you know, they always have that like small project that's like going to take forever to do and they don't want to, you know, pay very much for it, which is, you know, that's not how I used to stay in a business. I'm sorry, but unless it's like a really close friend or something, I am like, this is my prices, you know, this is what we can do. And, you know, it's kind of weird with that, with friends, but that doesn't happen very often. But I think that this happens, you know, after you graduate college, obviously, and you all move away, you see a lot less of your friends in general. But, you know, working from home and like sometimes having to pass out on events or going out or something because I have a client project to do, you know, sometimes my friends can get a little upset because they don't really understand. A lot of my friends are very supportive though. They really support my business and they've learned, you know, if I have a client project, I'm not like I have to do it. It's not, you know, like I don't have the time to go out and I'm sorry because this is my business. And if I don't do this project, then I don't eat or whatever. That's a little bit extreme, but you get the point. My friends and family have been very, very supportive of me and they kind of, you know, they send me business and every opportunity that they can. And they, you know, just really are great, like emotional support. And like I have a couple friends that I send designs to just to kind of get some feedback and outside ideas, which I'll also post them in Facebook groups sometimes to ask for outside ideas or like feedback. And then, you know, what they say is like helpful. And I think that that's great for working from home, especially. But yeah, it's had a big impact on like my relationships with people, kind of owning my own business and working from home.
Definitely. And so I'm also a designer as well. So I've dealt with some issues with setting boundaries with clients. You know, people mm-hmm. who have a cell phone number are going to text you at 11:30 at night on a Friday. And it's like, well, I'm not working, but they expect you to be working. So I'm wondering, have you ever had any issues setting boundaries? Or if you have, how have you kind of put that in place for people to understand, hey, I'm working from home and I own my business, but I still have, you know, working hours?
Well, I've had honestly some issues with setting boundaries with working hours to begin with, because I guess I'm kind of a workaholic. And when you work from home, you know, it's so easy to just have no work-life balance because your business is always there staring you in the face. And if you, you know, don't do it, no one's going to do it, like do the work that you need to do. You know, the money is not going to get made if you're not putting in the effort to make it. So it's kind of hard, you know, to have that work-life balance in general. But as far as relationships, yeah, I've definitely experienced people who will text me at 11 p.m. and expect me to create their logo the next day in one day. I think that there's a really big disconnect between business owners and like friends who need design stuff and what their understanding is of like design and calligraphy, especially. They don't understand why it costs so much. They don't understand why it takes so long. They kind of think that they can contact you, you know, the day before, pay you $10 to design like 100 different graphics for them. Maybe not 100, but that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you understand. And it's, you know, that's just not how it works. My logo designs especially take minimum 3 to 4 weeks for the very basic package. And so much more goes into it than me sitting down and drawing a pretty picture. Because design is based on strategy and I have to research target audience, industry, like things like that to be able to form a strategy to make a logo that's going to appeal to the target audience. It's not just art.
Right. Absolutely. So if you could give one piece of advice to somebody who's maybe in college or just starting their own business, who's looking at you and says, oh my gosh, she's so successful. I want to be where she is. If you could give one piece of advice to them, what would it be?
Honestly, the very, very biggest kind of relates back to what I was just saying is to know your worth and then add tax. That's kind of a saying that I heard around online. And it kind of means it's tempting, especially when you're starting out in a business, to work for pennies or to work for free. Like in a lot of businesses will want to work with, especially creative industry, businesses that want to work with like creative businesses. They want to, you know, have you work for them for free in exchange for the promise of exposure. Or they like want, especially in design, they want you to create like a sample product, which is spec work, which means, you know, you're not getting paid. You're creating that product for free just to prove that you can do it. But the biggest thing is like you need to know how much you're worth and how much your skills are worth. But more so than that, you need to understand that your skills, maybe it'll take you like 10 minutes to, you know, create whatever they're asking for, but it took you years to develop that skill to the point where you can do it in 10 minutes. And not only that, what you're creating will provide your clients with huge amounts of value for their business, which will increase their profits. Well, it should anyways, if you're making the right products. Like it's not a favor for a business to work with you as a business owner. Like even if you're new, even if you don't have like a lot of experience, you know, under your belt, you don't have to prove to them that you can do you know, what they're asking for through spec work, that's what your portfolio and your website is for. You're increasing the value of their business and making them money, and they should pay you for that. They should pay you a lot for that. A lot of, especially in the calligraphy industry, I see this a lot. People will like be like, I'm new, so I'm making a logo for this business, but I'm only going to charge them $50 for the whole logo. And that's crazy, especially as a graphic designer, kind of looking at it from a graphic design standpoint. That's insane. $50 for a logo, that's the face of their business. That's the first thing that their like target audience is going to see. That's going to decide if they, you know, like this business or not. The logo that's going to set them apart for their customers so they don't blend in to an oversaturated industry. You're charging $50 for that. That logo that took you 3 days and hours to make. That's not even, that's pennies. Below minimum wage, you can't live like that. So I think knowing your worth and knowing the value of your services and your products and what they do for your customers is huge and like such a big tip that a lot of people don't know when starting out.
Oh, absolutely. And I so wish I had someone in my ear telling me that when I first started, because I can't tell you how many times I worked for nothing. And thank you to them for working for nothing. It was just a nightmare.
And yeah. And especially there's a psychological principle that kind of says that, you know, when you pay $0 for something, when you get it for free, you don't value it as much as the things that you pay for. So like if you get a free product handed to you on the street, you're like, okay, whatever, maybe you'll like trash it. If it breaks, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever with it. And if you're getting something for free, then like you can, you know, ask them to change it a million times or whatever. It's no hassle. But if you, you know, invest in something, pay for something, if you get free sunglasses on the street, whatever, if you pay for sunglasses, you know, you're going to take care of it. You're going to like that thing means more to you. The value increases regardless of how much you pay for it. Just the fact that you're paying for it makes it more valuable, even if it's the exact same thing.
I agree. So looking forward, what are some things on the horizon for you?
Well, like I said, I do want to start to pivot my business. I'm going to actually undergo like a really big rebranding, because right now, Crystal Peterson Design and Lettering, I'm not crazy about that name. And also across different platforms, I don't have the same name, which people can get confused. So especially on my Instagram is Ohai Crystal, which is O-H-A-I. And that's, you know, what the people that I'm teaching with my tutorials on Instagram and the following that I grow there, that's what they know me as. And then I can maybe translate to Crystal Peterson Design and Lettering. But then my shop is called the Ampersand Shop, because originally it was going to be a product shop and it was going to be separate from my design business. But it's like a big disconnect right now. So I'm actually merging them all into Ohai Crystal Creative. And I'm going to kind of undergo like a big rebranding in which I kind of change my business and pivot my services, like I was saying earlier, to more teaching, more resources, and like less of the just branding packages and services, especially because with the, you know, a service-based industry or business, you can only scale it so much. You can only scale it to the point where you have hours in the day to work for it. And that's how much money you can make. That's it. With like the passive or product-based, you know, the sky's the limit. You can sell a million like products or a million like Procreate brushes. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter how many hours are in the day. You just need a million people to buy it. So that is kind of one goal. And then also I want to teach more, and I want to like kind of, I guess, provide more, like get in touch with more opportunities for kind of sharing the things that I know, especially with design and Illustrator and merging it with lettering, to help people kind of grow their businesses and like just help them kind of better where they're at right now and do more like on-site events, teaching and things like that.
Well, that all sounds very exciting. And so everybody who is listening, I'm sure, is interested to hear, you know, all the resources that maybe you've looked into, books, podcasts, courses, you know, websites, anything that is, you know, people who have been successful, we all want to know how they did it.
Right.
So if you have anything to share, that would be awesome.
Oh girl, I have a lot. I'm like a knowledge junkie. I guess like I'm like that lifelong student that just wants to learn everything forever and never stop. So, but I'll pare it down into the things that are the most useful or valuable to me. So as far as like the tools that I use to run my business, I use for client work, I use Dubsado, which if you don't know what that is, it's a like a client management system where you can send invoices, email with clients, send contracts, kind of do it all through there. You can set up forms, questionnaires, and you can put them on your website. I use it for branding questionnaires for clients as well. And I send them proofs through that and get feedback on the same questionnaires. Super simple to set up. It's all very drag and drop. It's all like very simple and very, very useful. You can also track your income through that. Just like a million things to do. And it's like 100 different like things that I was doing before on different platforms and tools merged into one. Amazing. Dubsado. Go get
it. I use it too, actually, and I love it.
Yeah, it's really, really big. I think that and HoneyBook are the best, like most known ones in the creative industry. Dubsado is a little newer, but like I think it's kind of surpassed HoneyBook, which is more for like professional photographers.
It's definitely got a bigger range for people in different industries.
Yeah, I think it has tools that appeal to more like business, creative businesses with like service-based products in general, as opposed to HoneyBook. But aside from that, I also use G Suite, which is like how I set up my URL or my email to go through my URL, which my email is hello@crystalpeterson.com. So I set that up using G Suite, super easy. And then to host my website, I use like SiteGround to buy the hosting and the domain name, and I use WordPress, which honestly, I would maybe recommend Squarespace because I know how much more simple it is to create a really nice looking website, and WordPress is kind of complicated. But when I created my website way back in college, Squarespace wasn't around then. And I also have a background in HTML and CSS, so you know I can kind of figure out WordPress if it's acting kind of weird. But I would say, I don't know that you know how to, have to know how to code, but you do have to understand, like if you want to customize anything, you definitely have to know how to code. I use Divi, which is like a theme that is like a subscription to, I think it's Elegant Themes. They have a theme called Divi, which they offer a visual builder. So everything can be drag and drop. And it's really, really nice. But, you know, if I want to change anything else, yeah, you got to know the CSS. If anything goes wrong, you got to know how to like get in there and change it. So if you don't want to have to learn that and deal with that, then just do Squarespace. But so those are like kind of the three biggest business tools that I use. As far as learning and education, books, I already mentioned the one thing. I have such an overflowing bookshelf of business and lettering and marketing books that it's just, it's absurd how many I have, but I want more. I want all of them and I want to learn everything that they have to offer me. But the one thing has been really, really valuable. If you're a calligrapher, Panic Free Pricing is an ebook offered by Becca from Happy Ever Crafter. And it's really, really great to figure out how to, you know, price calligraphy products so that, you know, you're at a competitive rate and you can actually, you know, make a business with that. And you're not undercutting the industry by offering everything super cheap like Fiverr. Don't even get me started on that. The other book, the last book that I really, really like is Logo Design Love for designers. And it kind of just walks you through the process of everything that goes into creating a logo and brand identity. Those are kind of things that maybe aren't relevant to everyone in the industry, like creative industries. But the one thing is relevant to everyone in their life in general. So that book, A plus, go get it right now. Podcasts that I would recommend, I really, really like three. Being Boss, which is for creative entrepreneurs. Amazing. It's so, so good. And they're so, so easy to listen to. And there's like a million episodes on everything that you can think of. The Strategy Hour from Think Creative Collective. I think that Abigail and Emily over there, they do a really good job of creating, you know, educational resources for creative businesses to figure out how to learn and grow. And the Strategy Hour is very actionable. They give you actionable tips for how to, you know, not just theory of like why you should do something, but actually how to do it. And for me, like I said, like I don't like to, like with even with art, I don't like to just make it just to make it. You know, I want to make it for a reason. And so I think that I really like actionable advice. And so I really like the Strategy Hour because it gives me that. And then All Up in Your Lady Business is the last one. And it's, I just started listening to this one, but it's really easy to listen to. The hosts are really funny. And it's also for creative female business owners, and it kind of goes in depth on how to like grow, scale your business, different aspects like social media or getting PR. And it's just very, it's very personable. It's very relatable the way that it's presented.
Well, thank you for sharing those. And I know a lot of people are going to want to get in touch with you and, you know, take a look at your website and your store. Do you mind letting the listeners know how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, of course. My website is crystalpeterson.com. That's Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, and Peterson with an E-N. So P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N.com. I miss out on a lot of inquiries because people send it to Peterson with an O-N. So it's crystalpeterson.com. And then on Instagram, I'm Ohai Crystal, O-H-A-I Crystal. And then my shop is on Etsy and the Creative Market. It's called The Ampersand Shop.
Well, thank you so much, Crystal. I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being on your podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Hustlenomics podcast. Be sure to visit www.hustlenomicspodcast.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover bonus content. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to hear more, just head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. For questions about the podcast or if you want to apply to be a guest, use the contact form found on our website. Thank you for listening, and until next time, keep hustling.